is a very practical book. Sometimes, sometimes people criticize the Bible for being impractical or not applying to our daily lives. James does that. It's a very straightforward book, like several of the New Testament epistles. James helps us to understand that faith is more than just believing in God. And I want to look at that this morning. We'll mention several verses out of the book of James. If you want to keep your Bible open, they'll be on the screen. I want to start by reading James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. These verses tell us how we should respond to the Word of God. And there are really only two responses. I want you to look again at verse 22. And the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." One response to the Word of God is to only hear the Word. These are the people who only have the Word in their head. We might say the Word of God in their ears. I want you to listen to what the Bible says about those who only have the Word of God in their head. Verses 23 and 4 again. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. If you go to the mirror and look, and when the Bible says that he is beholding his face, that's not a casual glance. That's not a walk by and just happen to glance in the mirror. That's stand in front and look at the mirror and examine your face. If you see something wrong, you have two options. You can fix it. You can do, if the hair's out of place, you can fix it, or you can walk away. And chances are, if you walk away, you'll forget that hair was out of place. The Bible is a unique book. You cannot read the Word of God. You can't even hear the Word of God without it challenging you in some way. Because the Bible is the mirror of our soul. The Bible reveals to us our true inner man, what we really look like. And when we see that, when we read the Word of God or hear it, and we see that image or understand that image, there are only two responses. We can do something about it, or we can walk away. And if we walk away, chances are we're going to forget what we really look like to begin with. Now, we'd like to think that there are other options, right? Well, I'm not forgetting. I'm thinking about it. I'm mulling it over in my mind. I'm going to do something about it, but I'm going to wait a little while. Or, well, I'm going to investigate a little further and see if that's really the truth. Or, we like to think there are other options that we can put our decision on hold, but you can't. You either do something or you walk away. This morning, if you're here and you're not a Christian, you're either going to get saved this morning or you're going to leave lost. See, there's nothing in between. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to wait till later. I'm going to pray. No, you either do it or you don't. You remember the rich young ruler in the New Testament? Matthew records his account with Jesus. And he came to Jesus, and you remember he asked Jesus what he had to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus went through some of the things in the law, and he said, "Boy, I've done all that." And Jesus said, "Okay, there's only one thing that you lack. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me." Now, the problem wasn't his riches. The problem was his love of those riches. He valued his money more than he valued Jesus Christ. I want you to listen. That was the mirror. He saw, the young man saw his true self, and his true self was that he valued his money more than he valued a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to what the Bible says his response was, Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he heard the word of God, He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He heard the word, it was in his head, but he didn't obey the word. He rejected the word. He turned and he walked away. And the Bible says that he left sorrowful. And he left sorrowful because he had rejected the word of God. There are a lot of people today who think that hearing the word is enough. They think that believing that God exists is enough. That, you know, if you believe that God exists, you're going to go to heaven. Everything's going to be all right. That's not true. We know that's not true. You know, we just fool ourselves a lot of times into what we think is right and what we know is right. The Bible says that you think Satan doesn't believe in God? Of course he does. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. They even fear God. But they're not going to heaven. Belief in God is not enough. Hearing the word of God is not enough. The word of God says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word of God says there is none righteous, no, not one. The word of God says that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that he is the only one who can forgive our sins. Now, you've just heard the word of God, but that doesn't save you. Just hearing the word doesn't save you. The word in the head is not enough. We have to move from hearing the word, having the word in our head, to having the word in our heart. I want you to listen to how to do that. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We have to lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Boy, those are big, long words. Those are $10 words, and we like them. You know what it means? We have to quit sinning. We have to repent of sin. When we repent of sin, we confess that we're sinners, and we turn away from sin, and we turn to God. We receive the engrafted word. We take the word of God from our head, and we put it in our heart. We receive what the Bible has. We make the changes that the Bible tells us that we need to make, and we receive the forgiveness that God offers us. We believe the word of God. Now, I know, listen, I know that's sometimes that's a little hard, isn't it? Honestly. I mean, there's some, if you just look at it from a logical point of view, from a human point of view, there are some crazy things in this book. Seas parting. Dead people. 4 days dead, coming back to life. Blind people seeing. Lame people walking. We're going to talk about a miracle here in just a minute. There's some crazy stuff in there. Some stuff I've never seen. But if you're going to put the Word of God in your heart, you have to believe that what this Bible says is the truth. I don't understand it all. I don't know how God does these things. I don't understand all that's written. I can't tell you everything that's going to happen from this moment to the end of time. I don't know it all, but I believe everything that is in this book is the truth. It may seem unbelievable, but it's believable because God said it's true, and therefore it is true. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We have to believe that He will forgive our sins just by confessing our sins. I think that's a stumbling block for some folks. It is for me sometimes. You know, I'm not perfect. I hope you realize that. And sometimes I do things that I shouldn't, or don't do things that I should, and I have to ask for forgiveness. And sometimes it's hard for me to think that, well, just by asking, God's going to forgive me. But He does. Faith to believe is a gift. Salvation is a gift. And all we have to do is confess and ask for forgiveness, and He will forgive us. We think there must be something more. That's too simple. That's too easy, right? If it's that good, there must be something more. There must be something that we can do to earn our salvation. But there's nothing we can do to earn it. We just have to receive it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we're going to put the word in our heart, we just have to believe that that's true. Believe that God, when we ask, God will forgive us of all of our sins. If you've not moved the Word of God from your head to your heart, I hope you'll do that this morning, even right now. Right where you sit. Listen, don't wait. Right where you sit. Repent of your... Just tell God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And then believe that He has forgiven you when you ask Him to, because He does. There's one more step. This is the process, really, of salvation. We hear the Word of God. We receive the Word of God. We have the Word of God in our head. We move the Word of God from our head to our heart. And then there's one more step. We have to move the Word of God from our heart to our hands. I want you to look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word. Now this, listen, this is not one act of obedience. This is not one thing. He didn't say do the Word. He said be doers of the Word. This is a lifestyle of obedience to God. And the first thing that we have to do in order to have a lifestyle of obedience to God is to quit sinning. I don't know how to say this. I wish I knew how to say this. I know sometimes I've even talked about this before, and I've had people come to me later and say, well, preacher, you're saying that we have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. But listen, you got to quit sinning. You can't be a... Sin is disobedience to the Word of God. Well, you can't be a doer of the Word of God if you're living in disobedience to the Word of God. I don't know where we've gotten this from, that we think we can live in sin and be a Christian at the same time. It just doesn't work. So the first step to putting the Word of God in our hands is to stop sinning. And this is the way that we do that, James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Everybody's tempted to sin. Satan will make sure, especially Christians, Satan will make sure that you're tempted to sin. Being tempted to sin is not a sin. Yielding to sin is. Doing sin is obviously sin. And so we have to decide, and it's really just this simple, folks. We have to decide to resist temptation. We have to submit ourselves to God. God, I give you my life. I give you my thoughts. I give you my energy. I give you my talents. I give you my time. Whatever it is that I have, whatever it is that you've given me, I give it right back to you. I submit to you. Your will be done in my life, and whatever happens, I'll praise you if you are glorified. That's submitting to God. We submit to God and decide to resist the devil. Listen, the truth is, most of the time when Christians commit sin, it's because they haven't decided, they haven't committed themselves to resisting temptation. There are even times in the lives of Christian people where sometimes we or they will do something that they know is sin, intending to confess after they've done it. Boy, that's dangerous ground to walk on. God is merciful and God is gracious and God forgives sin, but sometimes I think it's very presumptuous when we intend to sin and then intend to confess. That's putting great stress on the mercy and the grace of God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Determine to resist temptation. And then the Bible says, it tells us how to resist the devil. The very next verse, verse 8, draw an eye to God and He will draw an eye to you. If we focus on God, if we focus on getting close to God, on doing the things that God wants us to do, the temptations that Satan brings to us will not be nearly as powerful. They'll be much easier to resist. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's never easy, but it will be much easier if we're close to God, if we're obeying God, if our desire is to love Him and to serve Him and to follow Him and do the things that He wants us to do. So we submit to God, we resist the devil, we draw an eye to God, and then we do the Word of God. We obey God, we love our neighbor, we teach the class, we sing the song, we pray the prayer, we read the Bible, we witness to the lost. We forgive others, we help the brokenhearted, we give to the needy, whatever it is that the Bible says to do, we do it. And we do it consistently, and we do it continually, and it becomes our lifestyle, becomes the lifestyle of doing the Word of God. Those are the people who have the Word of God in their hands. They are doing the Word of God. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, because I think the same things that you do. And some of you are thinking, well, Pastor, I can't do that. I can't obey the Bible. It's too much. It's too hard. It's too difficult. There are too many things, whatever it is. It's something that I can't give up in order to obey the Bible. I just can't. Well, you're right. You can't. I can't. On our own, we can't do it. But God doesn't ask us to do it on our own. He empowers us to do it. Whatever, you've heard me say this, I started to say a million times, maybe not that many, but many times, whatever God commands us to do, God enables us to do. I want you to listen to this story out of Matthew chapter 12. I'd never had realized this before. I like it when I'm reading the Bible and, you know, something new comes. Listen to this. Matthew 12, starting verse 9. Now follow with me and don't read ahead of me, okay? Because I'm going to stop in the middle of a verse. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. That's Jesus. Left one place and came into the synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered in the synagogue. And they asked him, some of the scribes and Pharisees, they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? They wanted to trick Jesus into saying or doing something that they thought was against the law. And they thought work on the Sabbath was against the law. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Now listen, and don't read ahead. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. I never realized that. Do you realize that was a physical impossibility? Jesus told him, do something that is physically, he had a withered hand drawn up. I can't even draw it up like it was drawn up, but he had a withered hand. And Jesus said to him, stretch forth your hand. He couldn't do it. It was physically impossible to do. Imagine if you were that man. Wouldn't you be tempted to say, well, I can't. They just told you I have a withered hand. I can't do it. You're asking me, you're telling me, you're commanding me to do something that is physically impossible. I can't do it. If you read some of the other accounts, Mark and Luke, I think, include this as well. And in their accounts, Jesus had the man stand up. While this conversation is going on between him and the Pharisees, he has this man with the withered hand stand up. And then he says to him, stretch forth your hand. I think he would have, don't you think he would have attempted just to sit down? Well, I can't do that. That's what we do, teach that class. Well, I can't do that. Witness to your neighbor, I can't do that. Tell somebody about Jesus, well, I can't do that. Read your Bible every day, well, I'm too busy, I can't do that. Well, pray, well, I can't do that. Forgive that guy that's wronged you, well, I can't do that. Right? It's impossible. What Jesus told him to do was physically impossible. Look at the next phrase in the verse. And he stretched it forth. What God commands us to do, God enables us to do. By an act of faith, that man did what was physically impossible by the power of God. And the rest of that verse says, and it was restored whole like the other. You know, the reason that the church of God does not do the work of God today is because the church of God does not act in faith. We say, I can't. Much easier to give up. Much easier to sit down. Much easier to let somebody else do it than to get up and to stretch forth our hand. The Word of God in our hands stretches forth and does something. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a living thing, and it produces action. If your faith is not producing action, guess what? Your faith is dead. By the power of God, we can do what God commands us to do. And God commanded us to be doers of the Word of God, all of it. And so by the power of God, we can be doers of all of the Word of God. The only question is, will we put the Word of God in our hands today? and be faithful and obedient to Him. Now I want you to look at James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. When you begin to do the work of God, when you begin to obey the Word of God and do the Word of God, and then as you continue doing the Word of God, you are blessed by God. That doesn't mean your life is going to be a bed of roses. That doesn't mean everything is going to just be hunky-dory by the world's standards. That means that you're going to have a personal relationship and fellowship and communion with God Almighty. That means that no matter what happens in your life, it's going to be for His will and for His purpose, and He's going to be glorified, and He's going to work all those things out for your good, and it's going to be okay. And God is going to bless you when you continue to be obedient to Him. When you don't walk away from the mirror forgetting what you look like, but when you do something about it. Then James chapter 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. One of the things that I'm reminded of in every funeral that I conduct. It makes no difference the age of the deceased. I'm always reminded of this one thing. Life is short. You realize, don't you, that I've conducted funerals for people who were aged and in some cases had sicknesses or diseases for months, in some cases years. And sometimes every day, you know, their family think, well, this will probably be the last day of our loved one's life, whatever it was. But you realize that they lived and then instantly they were gone. One breath. You take one breath and then you don't take another one. Life is not only short, it ends quickly. Whatever we are going to do for the Lord, we'd best get busy. If you are going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'd best do it now. Oh, no, Pastor, I'm young. I'm middle-aged. Well, I'm close to retirement age, but I'm in good health. I've got a lot of time left. I'm going to wait. Hell is full of people who thought they had a lot of time left, and they decided to wait. Life is short, and it ends suddenly. If you're here this morning and you only have the Word of God in your head, it's time to move it to your heart. It's time to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Confess your sins and serve Him as your Lord. And Christian, you have the Word of God in your heart, but I want to ask you, is it in your hands? Are you doing the Word of God consistently, faithfully? Is it your lifestyle? Would you stand with me this morning? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to have a song of invitation. Be as quiet as you can for just a moment. Would you come today if you have a need? Would you remember that life is short, that it ends quickly, that this is your moment, say, unsaved, to get saved, and if you are saved, this is your moment to make that determination, I will be a doer of the Word. You come while we sing.